Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order Thursday, April 25th, 2024, meeting of the Curry Beach Town Council. Commissioner Ellen, would you please give us an invocation, and then we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, I pray for this council meeting tonight. Give these council members wisdom and guidance as they deliberate on the items before them. May every decision be righteous in your sight and the town's benefit and for your glory. In your precious name, amen.
Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item on the agenda tonight is approval of the consent agenda. Commissioners, if you have an opportunity to look at these items, and I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion. We approve the consent agenda as presented.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Now for adoption of the regular agenda. I do thank Commissioner Ellen. We have one thing.
Yes. I would like to recommend that, excuse me, we, under item 7.1, which is committee business, and we have the Bike Ped Committee as first, we have a subparagraph 7.11, I guess, to talk about and try to approve resolution 24-03, which is declaring May the Bike Awareness Month for the town of Curry Beach.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adopt the agenda with changes.
Make a motion to adopt the agenda with the addition of 7.1.1, resolution 24-03.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Now it's time for public comment.
We don't have anyone signed up.
Okay, so if you haven't signed up for public comment, you can, if you'd like to make any comments tonight.
They must love us.
All right. All right, next we'll go have public comment. So next we go to presentations. David Parker with the safety officer for the Cape Fear Sail and Power Squadron.
This is the mayor.
Come up to the. Come up to.
It's been an upgrade.
Okay, then.
Jim Kennedy is good.
Okay, Jim, welcome.
Mayor and commissioners, thank you for giving us a few minutes to talk about Safe Boating Week, which is coming up in May 18-24. And you have a proclamation that we ask you to adopt. The Cape Fear Sail and Power Squadron has been in this area for over 70 years. And our primary goal has always been to promote safe boating in our area. And to that end, each year we train over 150 new boaters, hopefully how to keep them out of trouble on the water and how to keep them from causing trouble for all the rest of us on the water. And each year we inspect over 200 recreational vessels to make sure that they have all of their safety gear and they know how to use it when they get into trouble. But the proclamation that you have before you talks about the main reason that people lose their lives on the water, and that is obviously drowning. 80% of the people who die on the water is because of drowning. 86% of those people is because they're not wearing life jackets. And we've been promoting that cause for years and years and years. And any of you who have been out on the water and look for these on some boat, unless you're looking at a Coast Guard vessel, you probably aren't seeing this, not on anybody. If it is on there, it's sitting next to somebody, which in an emergency incident is unlikely to help anybody. You know, one of the most common things is that someone will get thrown out of their boat, and having that life jacket sitting next to you is going to do you absolutely no good. But, you know, as everything has improved, so has safety on the water. And these life jackets, the inflatable type, are what we're asking people to consider to wear from once they get on the boat until they get off again. This will save you as well as this bulky, cumbersome, very uncomfortable thing. And they're now very affordable. You can get one of these, a good one, between $50 to $100. And it will save your life just as well as this one does. So that's what we're trying to promote in our safe boating week this year. Get a life jacket, put it on, wear it. It'll save you and it can save your family members out in the water. So thank you for helping us put a spotlight on these issues and appreciate the time.
Okay, do you want to read this agenda, I mean this proclamation, or you want me to read it?
Could you read that?
Yeah, I think I got a question from our attorney.
I was just curious, besides Amazon, where do you get these?
You can get them at Dick's Sporting Goods. You can get them at West Marine. Any of the marine centers around here would have them. But yes, they are out on Amazon. You can even get them at Walmart.
And how does the inflation work? Is there something you pull?
There's two different kinds. There's a kind that you basically engage by pulling the tab. Mm-hmm. And the other kind where it will inflate automatically when you hit the water and a certain pressure hits it. And those, obviously, in a circumstance where you fall out of your boat, maybe even hit your head, an automatic inflation type of jacket is really the best to have.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, may we get a picture of you with...
Yes, sir, we will. Let me read this proclamation, and we'll vote on it, and then we'll come down and have a picture with y'all, okay? So this is Proclamation P-2401. -01, proclaiming the week of May 18th to 24th, 2024, as Safe Boating Week. Whereas the beautiful coast waters of Kure Beach represent a world-renowned recreational resource that residents and visitors alike are drawn to each year for water and beach activities, and whereas year-round people continue to enjoy all our natural environment has to offer through the joy of boating, and whereas on average 613 people die in the U.S. each year in boating-related accidents, with approximately 80% of these deaths caused by drowning, and whereas in approximately 86% of drowning cases, the victim was not wearing a life jacket, and whereas it is apparent that wearing a life jacket is the single most important factor in reducing boating-related deaths, and whereas the National Safe Boating Council, supported by the U.S. Power Squadron and other national organizations, has set May 18th through the 24th as National Safe Boating Week in 2024. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Kure Beach Town Council proclaims May 18th through 24th, 2024, as Safe Boating Week in this town. And I will sign, and we will send y'all a copy of it once it's signed and stamped and everything. And Council, I think they'd like a picture of us with all.
So, I'd like to make a motion that we accept.
Oh, yeah, excuse me a second. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
And I'll second.
Motion to approve and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Now picture.
Thank you.
Come down.
Okay.
Yes, yeah,
this is our Commander Joan Payne.
Hey, Joan. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Squeeze in. All right, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good to see you.
It's good to see you again.
Yes, sir.
Thank
you. Y'all may remember Commissioner Allen wore his device last year, and he didn't have it on this year, so. Okay, now to committee business. Bike Ped Advisory Committee. Eileen, I believe you're subbing tonight.
Good evening, Mayor, Commissioners. I also would like to kick off the Bike Ped Committee this evening with a proclamation that I would like to read to all of you and have adopted. Declaring May is Bicycle Awareness Month. Whereas the month of May is observed as National Bike Month, and Curry Beach Town Council is committed to the promotion of safe and convenient bicycling for both transportation and recreation. Whereas the town of Curry Beach is committed to promoting the safe use of bicycles on the town's streets and trails through planning and project activities that include the Curry Beach Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan of 2022. The ongoing Island Greenway Paved Trail feasibility study and design of pedestrian safety improvements at the intersection of Fort Fisher Boulevard and Hay Avenue. And whereas the town of Curry Beach supports education about bicycle safety through the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, otherwise known as WMPO, be a looker campaign which encourages children and adults to operate their bicycles in a safe manner and educates drivers on how to share the road with bicyclists. And whereas the Curry Beach Town Council is committed to alleviating traffic congestion by providing choices and transportation infrastructure and ensuring a clean and healthy environment. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Curry Beach Town Council hereby proclaims May as Bicycle Awareness Month and will continue to promote safe cycling opportunities for Curry Beach citizens.
I'd make a motion that the Curry Beach Council adopt Resolution 24-03 proclaiming May Bicycle Awareness Month.
Okay, we have a motion. Have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Now,
thank you.
On with your committee report. And we'll send you a copy of this, so if you want to send it to the WMPO or whoever. So.
Awesome. Do we get a picture too? I tease it. Okay, so with that said, I do want to, yeah, there's a lot of activity to share with you. We have been awarded a grant by NCDOT for 25 helmets. And those helmets we're going to be utilizing in the month of May, Bike Month, as giveaways for the students at Carolina Beach Elementary School, where we will be holding a traffic garden. In addition to that grant, we have applied to another one that we are anxiously waiting to get feedback on, looking to obtain bike racks and have them strategically placed here within our community. We hope to hear back on that in the next month or two. So stay tuned. We'll fill you in on that hopefully with some good news. We do have the traffic garden Bike to School Day, which was going to be May 17th. It will start off or kick off at the Joe Weeks Park. We're going to bike from Joe Weeks Park at 7:15 and bike with parents and children over to Carolina Beach Elementary, arriving probably 7:45. Chief Bowden is aware of this activity, and with that, I'd like to invite you, Mayor, and commissioners to join in on that adventure on May 17th. The traffic garden will take place in the afternoon, and it will take place at Carolina Beach Elementary School. We have, it will be targeted for the second graders. There's about 80 students, and it's working with teaching them safety as it pertains to, you know, learning to cross, let people go through the pedestrian crosswalk, learning about the signs, the different signs. And it's a pilot program for Let's Go NC. So we hope to have that adopted in all the schools here afterward. But it's a great program, and we're going to get that executed. With that, we also have crosswalks that I'd like to share some good news with all of you on. We have, for 40 years, the Bike Pack Committee has worked on auditing, looking at the area where we would need crosswalks. We've looked at, we've done the planning, we've looked at funding, we've worked with getting on the schedule of NCDOT. And nice to see after this time frame that we've had four come to fruition. So I'd like to share with you on the monitor there that we have, the one you're looking at here is located at Ocean View, which is between Myrtle and Ocean View, and crosses over to the beach access. The second crosswalk is located by the post office there at M Avenue. And all of these are light activated, so it's really great that we're able to have those lights in addition to that signage and crosswalk itself. The third crosswalk is farther south, and that's at the Blakeslee Air Force Recreation Area, also with the lights. And the last one, the fourth one, is at Surf Rider Court, just before the bend going around, and that's near Ocean Dunes. So I'm excited to see those come to fruition. I want to give a shout out to the Parks and Rec for doing the PSA on the crosswalks on Facebook, so thank you very much for that. This Saturday we have a booth that we will have at the Curry Fest, Community Festival that's taking place. And at that, we'll have a campaign for Be Seen, Be Safe, and Heads Up, Phones Down. So stop by. We have great giveaways and lots of education to provide on safety as pertains to our biking and walking throughout the community. Any questions, happy to answer those as well. We also have a fun ride that we're putting together as a result of a resident that requested having one in the community, and that will take place on Sunday, the 19th of May. That will kick off at 1 o'clock here in the parking lot at the town hall, and we have more information to follow on that. And last but not least, another fun bike ride, and that's being held through Tour de Blueberry. That's out in Bergaw, and the Curry Beach has their own team, the Curry Cruisers, the big winner, John Allen, of previous rides, and would encourage everybody to join in. There's something for everyone. There's different distances, 10, 20, 33, 66. So something for everyone, a lot of fun. There's a great festival afterward with blueberries and what have you. So. Lots of bike ride opportunities in the month of May, and look forward to seeing everyone out there. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Ali. And again, we should, if you see our representative Charlie Miller, these funds for these four crosswalks are made possible through discretionary funding through Senator Michael Lee and Representative Charlie Miller. So. Okay, Community Center Committee. Nikki? No report tonight. Historic Preservation?
Nothing to report.
Okay. Marketing Committee. Yep.
You guys always think I'm going to talk a long time, don't you? Just short. Good evening, Mayor, Town Council. Actually, I had a lot to say tonight. I've had it, but because I'm very frustrated with the town council, but I decided to keep it short, as this is really not the place to talk about it. For 2 years now, I have chaired the KB Marketing Advisory Committee, a group that contains very sharp, passionate marketing and business minds with every bit of Curie Beach's best interests at heart. We are very lucky to have these volunteers that care immensely about Curie Beach. For 2 years, I've come to the council with well-supported ideas, new objectives, and considerations regarding the marketing of Curie Beach. The intent is for the town to take more responsibility in promoting tourism and do it more effectively while protecting our unique brand and way of life. The big question still remains, how do we control and manage the marketing strategy to serve both our residents and tourism at the same time? I know you guys have heard me say this a million times. I'm at a loss because I'm not sure if the county council really cares about this, honestly. This is where I'm holding back the details of our more private discussion that I can have those with Ms. Merkel. For a more private discussion, if you're interested. For tonight, I just wanted to inform you that we will be significantly dialing back the KB Max efforts to shape the town strategy until we can get some guidance, some support, and some sincere interest from the mayor and the town. I just don't want to waste the time of the committee members any further until we can get some guidance. My only ask is that I can discuss the direction further with Commissioner Merkel. Do I say that right?
Yes.
And you commit to engaging me or someone from the KBMAC or the TEA's 10-year strategy. That's my only ask at this point. I've brought a lot more, but that's really all we need right now. Just like you, I desperately want to protect our small town feel and KB as an amazing place to live. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here, nor chairing a committee with six other volunteers. You know, this is important to us, and we believe in all the stuff we'll bring to us, but we just need some support, okay? And I talked with Connie earlier, and I think that's probably the best place for me to start, is just have some direct conversations and figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. So that was all kind of feedback.
Thank you. And for the rest of the commissioners, I have met with them also, with Connie, and discussed several things. And hopefully with the feasibility study, strategic plan that they're going, TDA is going to do, some of these questions will be answered, and we'll have a better approach to what we're doing. Okay. All right, next, Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mayor and Commissioners, we have a new text amendment for your review. As has been the case for all of the work that's been done thus far with reviewing the chapters, it's continues to be led primarily by Vice Chair Barlock. And tonight it's chapters 5, 6, and 7. As it was with chapters 1 through 4, these are primarily grammatical, syntactical stuff. But there are a few examples I'd like to provide of things that kind of fall a little further beyond that. For example, section 5.06. This was a section that dealt with massage establishments and very outdated language, and what the attorney has recommended is we just defer to state regs, for that type of topic. So that has been deleted and what's been presented to you. Another one, which is kind of funny, but this is 5-02-040. There's actually language in our statutes that prohibit any form of dancing in any type of establishment that sells beer. So I thought, probably not what we're thinking it should be. So that's another example where we've deleted that language. Right.
Obviously, dancing was a problem at some point in our town. So.
Maybe it was you.
Any form of dancing is how it's termed.
But we're all focused.
Yeah, there you go. And then just another quick example would be that there's current language that prohibits any type of open air bar, within town, which obviously we already have examples where there are open air bars. So that language has also been recommended to be deleted. And, at this point, again, those are some of the key examples. Like I said, the vast majority, 95%, is just grammatical syntactical changes. Bring the language up to current day standards. So, any questions?
The only couple things that I have is that the open air bars, is that different than the outdoor area we approved several years ago for Bud and Joe's? It's technically not a bar, but it's technically you can take the beverages out there in that designed area. Is that splitting hairs, Jim, or is it?
I'm not sure it becomes an issue because the recommendation is to delete that language.
Delete that language, okay, good.
Language prohibits it if we want to delete the
Okay, and...
And I think, Mayor, I think another probably even better example would be Big Daddy's, for example, where there is a bar there that is completely outside.
Okay, and I had another thing. Maybe it'll come to me. Any other questions for...
So just for council, Section 7 is public utilities. Jimmy and I met with Joe and went through in detail, I think it's about 30 pages of changes. We have no issues with it, and we really appreciate the work and appreciate him reaching out and going through it, because there are some issues around water lines and around sewer discharges and other discharges that it's important to get that right. So we appreciate the work, and we sat down and went through it line by line, and Public Works has no issues with Section 7. So good job. Thank you very much, Jay.
Thank you.
One comment I'd like to make, going back to the massage parlors, the code currently provides for levying a license tax on such an establishment. But as you'll see in the memo that I attached, that's part of your agenda, there's a statute that lists massage and bodywork therapy as being one of the businesses that municipalities can no longer levy a tax on. So that's another reason why we're deleting that provision.
Good. Okay.
So it's before you for consideration and action. A motion to approve would basically make these changes in the code whenever Beth comes back to work.
I'm going to try to do it before I get out.
You're going to try to get that done before you're out?
Try to get it. Okay. And I'll try to do it while she's out. Okay.
All right. Any other questions or comments?
Yes, sir.
Entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve proposed text amendment changes to chapters 5 through 7 of the code.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Byron. Shoreline access and beach protection.
Rick. Which one do you want first?
I want to a B-Bot. Hello, my name is Rick Jackson. I'm part of the Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee. I have two separate subjects to talk to you this evening about. First one being B-Bot. What is B-Bot? B-Bot is a battery-operated walk-behind sand-shifting robot. The picture you see is from right up in that parking lot. We had a demonstration done about two or three weeks ago. Connie was able to participate. She didn't make the picture. But it was a very interesting demonstration. B-Bot is easy to operate. I have got to operate it a little bit. So it's being forwarded by the I got ahead of myself. Next is a video of B-Bot, and I think this will explain why I'm talking about it.
It's not a video.
It's not?
Well, it's not working. Anyway, you would see it going up and down Lake Tahoe, picking up sand, sifting sand, and eventually depositing the spoils, some of which are good and some of which are bad type things. But B-Bots are used all over the United States, both coast of Florida, west coast, and things like that. They're very useful, and for what purpose they would we have.
And you can go to YouTube. If you want to see it later on, there are YouTube videos out there.
Yeah, there are several YouTube too, out there. It's fun to watch. Now, if we decide to go forward with this, we're going to have to identify what area we want it to work in specifically. Our suggestion is that we concentrate on the most heavily used beach area, which of course is north and south of the pier. Also, for beach sweeps, the gentleman right here also demonstrated B-Bot this morning, and it attracts kids and people like you won't believe. I mean, they just... they want to know what it is. So we could actually have B-Bot be part of the beach sweep and attract more people and therefore get a cleaner beach. But those are suggested uses. We'll get to. Who's going to operate it? Keep New Hanover Beautiful Group will be responsible for the operation, and we can be trained to do it. They want us to become familiar with some stakeholders. It will be with supervision. Now, logistically, Bebop is garaged in Wilmington, so somebody has to put it in the trailer, drive it down to Curry Beach, and so there will be somebody there to maintain and make sure that everything is being done correctly. What are the benefits for KNHB, Keep New Hanover Beautiful? They want to sell sponsorships. They want to tag it with various advertisements, like I can see, like Jack Maslow put a sign on or something like that, or various other types of businesses and homeowners need to do that. The Ron John Surf Shop, which if you all surf, you're familiar with Ron John. They own two of these in Florida. They move them from beach to beach to beach and advertise surfboards. We'll advertise their shop near beach and buy our surfboards from Ron John. Our benefits to the town of Curry Beach. It's very simple. A cleaner beach is a safer beach for our residents and for our guests. It's that simple. Second thing is that every piece of trash, wherever we'll pick up, that's one piece of trash that we'll make it to the ocean. Cost to town Curry Beach is approximately $100 for a CAMA permit, minor permit. I do have the one at Carolina Beach just submitted. It was approved in approximately 4 weeks type thing, and plus so we can use that as a mock-up for us, plus whoever, I don't know if we have somebody to fill it out or not. I'm not sure, but that's our cost. The other cost is that we need a blanket or a tarp so we can drop the remains onto that and then sift it and take the bad stuff back to the trash, and the good stuff goes thrown back in the ocean. Cost to KNHB. Part of the CAMA permit means that everybody has to be informed, specifically those people within the designated areas of use. That cost is $9 per house, per whatever. Obviously, Curry Beach Pier would receive a letter saying this is what's going to happen in your area that we choose. Those costs are going to be assumed by KNHB. The Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee is recommending that we enter into an agreement with KNBC, the Keep American Beautiful Group. Two important things to consider while we're doing this is that anytime that robot Bebot is present in Curry Beach, it must have approval from Curry Beach. And the second thing, which I know is going to be asked, is what happens during turtle nesting season. Basically, what happens is that they will be in touch with people and identify any possible nesting grounds or nests in that area, preventing them. These things are, Bebot is very easy to manipulate around these areas. It's not a problem for it to go around. So, to my right is Mr. Dick Brightman. He is from KNHB. He is available for questions. I'm available for questions. Are there any questions?
I think before we would see how the council's feelings are, we need to see the agreement that would be in front of us from New Hanover County, New Hanover Beautiful Group. If you can supply that to us, and so we want our attorney to look over it. I think it'd be a great idea. Did I read somewhere or see somewhere that, like the Shibami shade people put advertisement on there, which like they don't need more advertising, but places like that. So I don't know. I don't have the rest of the council feels. I'll open it up.
So what are the plans on when you're gonna go to the beaches? Give time.
You know, we could schedule it for 6 a.m., 7 a.m. in the morning, or we can schedule it in the evening. I would suggest the morning. Seeing how I'm out there at 7 o'clock, I know how many people are out there.
Right. Well, I was just wondering what your plans were, right?
7.
Will that be in the agreement? What hours and days?
It can be. We control it.
Right.
We absolutely control. So whatever whatever our situation occurs. Like for a beach sweep, obviously that would be a little bit different than the normal sweeping of whatever area we suggest.
And is your group using it to raise funds or to raise awareness? What's the plan, the long-term plan for it?
No, it's your group.
Right. Somebody was.
Mayor and Council, thank you very much for this. Excuse me. I spent the whole day out on Carolina Beach today. We had our first event. They applied for a permit about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and we handled all the letters to the adjacent property owners. We finally got approval on Monday. We set up for 3 events. Now, the agreement really is we're the contractors, and the town is the applicant, so that we, along with the town, determine what's best for everybody. The frequency and the time of day and the duration is completely up to the town managers. What was your question? I'm sorry.
That's right. Well, yeah. I'm just trying to understand what your organization is using this for. Is it to raise awareness? Are you fundraising with it from your selling advertising?
Education, awareness. We had a group of about 8 small children at a Carolina Beach, and we took this thing out on the beach. Now, some of you have seen this thing. It's not, it's like 4 feet wide by 6 feet long.
Yep.
And it's not stealth at all because there's a sand-sifting device behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids came over and flocked to this, and they're asking thousands of questions, and we took a lot of pictures with them. And it's just amazing that you can look out on the beach and say, the sand is clean. And you run the BeeBot over it, and it's not clean. Today, we picked up pieces of plastic that you couldn't even see with the bare eye, cigarette butts, straws, bottle caps, Band-Aids, little twist tops to the squeeze jars, you know, that the kids use.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't see the stuff on the surface of the sand, but it's there. There's a blade underneath this, mm-hmm, that goes between 1.5 to 4 inches below the surface of the sand. And as it gets dragged across the sand, it picks up everything, shells, sand, and also non-marine debris. And then there's a sifter that sifts out the small items in the sand. And there's a pail in the back, a tray in the back, mm-hmm, that traps the larger items, then we go through and sort that. And it's an important thing to mention that we pick up a lot of shells, but the shells we drag back into the surf, and they go back into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about education and awareness.
Okay.
The surface is fluff. Once they go run the V-Bot, yeah, through there, it's fluffed up. It's not a hard path or anything like that.
Yeah, I've seen them, so I was just interested in what the organization, what your goal is with it, right? So if it's, I mean, it could be fundraising, right? We're selling advertising because you put advertising on it. It could be the manufacturer wants us to sell these to all the beaches and we're getting you hooked on it, and then we're going to say buy one and then you got to deal with it. So I'm just interested in what your purpose is.
If I may, the manufacturer is not interested in selling these to beaches.
Okay.
I mean, the advertising is the way you're going to pay, it's going to pay for the machines. Is that correct?
Well, the machine and the trailer were granted to us through Keep America Beautiful. We're the local affiliate in New Hanover County for, mm-hmm, Keep America Beautiful. Right. And Keep America Beautiful is trying to get these through their affiliates out to other beach communities. There are only 11 of them in the country. It's the first one in North Carolina. There are about 48 worldwide. They're manufactured in France.
Right.
Okay. Sitting outside the trailer.
Yep, I'm good.
When is the next time that you'll be running the BeeBot in Carolina Beach?
I'm glad you asked. Tuesday at 11 o'clock.
Tuesday at 11?
Uh-huh. Please come down.
Where?
Hamlet to the end of the boardwalk.
Do they have a set schedule that they're doing right now?
No. Unfortunately, we had some issues with getting the adjacent property owner letters back, and there was too long of a delay. So we're cut short because turtle nesting season starts next week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But the permit states the month of April and then 4 major holidays.
Right.
And that'll be all coordinated with Carolina Beach.
We can change those parameters.
It's up to you, George.
Yeah, exactly. It's up to us.
Yeah. And we have committed to Risal Beach. We have a couple of permits up there, Carolina Beach, and wherever else, that before we take this thing on the beach during turtle nesting season, we will go out with the turtle nesting groups and inspect areas that we need to stay away from.
I'm not clear on that. On the camera permit, has it restricted it during turtle season? Completely restricted?
No, it's not. But it's a more restricted application.
Okay. And how long does it take if we were to do along Atlantic Avenue, for instance, from the pier to N?
5,000 square feet can be done in an hour. So.
5,000 square feet is 4 feet wide, and so if we had to do 4 swipes of that beach strand by 50 feet, it's about 5,000 square feet.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a sense of how much of the beach can be cleaned.
It's about 1 to 3 miles per hour.
It's slow, yeah. And we walk behind, we walk alongside it, and it's controlled by like a drone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not indiscriminate because we know where it's going. Yes.
Okay, and sifting through the debris, Rick, have you thought that through? And volunteers or SLAP committee?
Shoreline access and beach protection. I think volunteers is another thing. Obviously, they're going to have some people out there. And I want to approach Ocean Cure too. I think they would be interested in doing that. Mm-hmm. And they do ramps in several different places. I'm sure this would be something they would be interested in doing.
And based on your experience of using the BBOT, how often would you recommend the same area be swept in order to keep it to somebody's definition of clean?
So I'm a newbie to this. This was our first official event. Today. We got the unit in October last year and we did a pop-up demonstration at Carolina Beach, which we were not supposed to do because we didn't form CAMA back. And we did another DEQ event up in Risal Beach. But we've waited since November to get this thing on the beach. And we're finding a lot of cooperation with beach communities because it helps them identify and inform the residents that they care about their beaches. Did I answer your question? I'm sorry.
That answer your question, John? What? That answer your question? So, Council, how do y'all want to proceed? Would you like for us to look at the agreement?
I think we should look at the agreement and do you indemnify the town if there's any problems?
Yeah, do you have insurance coverage and that type thing?
You know what, Rick and I were talking about that today and that question has not been raised by either Carolina or Risal Beach.
Wow. That's the first question I had because...
Well, that's
we need to indemnify.
You got little kids running after.
Yeah, so that's why I'd like to see a copy of the agreement.
Well, we don't have an agreement yet, Mayor, but our agreement is in the CAMA permit, specifically the terms of what it is that we're doing. We have not structured an agreement yet, but if you'd like to see that, we can certainly do that.
Okay.
I've got a question.
Yes, sir. I knew you would.
Is there any reviewing and drafting contracts as much as I do? It seems unusual to me. What I'm hearing is there's no transactional fee. You all got the BBOT through a grant.
Correct.
And you're offering it to be used on behalf of various beach municipalities without any cost. There's no rental fee.
Well, we can charge you rental fees.
Make a donation.
What's being presented?
So our commitment to keep America beautiful when we were awarded this was that we would take it on all the beaches in North Carolina, as many beaches in North Carolina as we possibly could, because our mission is to improve recycling, reduce litter, and beautify New Hanover County. That's our mission, and that's the mission of Keep America Beautiful. And they want to do that through this equipment.
And the event that you had at Carolina Beach yesterday, I think it was?
Today.
Was that a municipality-sponsored event, or I think you said DEQ as well?
No, it was pursuant to the CAMA minor permit.
But you got, Carolina Beach must have green lighted it.
Correct.
And did Carolina Beach require any protective provisions on its own behalf?
No, sir.
Because we might.
Yeah, I would think we would. I mean.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay.
Appreciate
it. If you could, if council's okay with this, let's look at the CAMA permit, and let's let the attorney look at it, and then we'll move forward.
Provide a copy, but I'll make sure.
Yeah.
Send it to you, Mandy.
Yeah, you can send it to Mandy, and she can get it to us, and we would. I'd like to see us move forward with it if the rest of council's okay with that.
I agree.
And then the formal approval will come with the agreement.
I wanted to ask one more
question. Yes, sir.
You say there's 10 more BBOTs, correct?
There are 11 in the country.
Right. You all have one of them.
First one in North Carolina.
And the others are, given your affiliation with the, what was the sponsor group?
Keep America Beautiful.
Keep America Beautiful. Would it be effective or efficient for you to inquire through that? Through your network with that entity, there must be examples of agreements between municipalities and the local affiliates, and I'd really be interested in seeing one.
I'll find that out. There's an example is that Keep Florida Beautiful, which is has the Ron John BBOTs. There are affiliates all up and down both coasts of Florida. And Keep Florida Beautiful hands their permit, hands their BBOT off from one affiliate to the next, all up and down to the coasts,
and
both coasts.
A lot of these are local government units?
They're affiliates, Canadian affiliates. And they are associated or affiliated with a town or...
I think somewhere in all that, there's probably some agreements that it'd be useful for both sides to look at.
In fact, I called out the executive director today, and I couldn't get a hold of him, but I will.
Okay.
If you check on that, and we'll...
Thank you.
You want to send it to me, or do you?
That'll be fine. You can get it to us, Rick. Okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you all so much. And we'll move forward.
Tuesday, and you can see it firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. BLTV, too.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. I got one more.
You got one more thing. All right.
Very, very brief. Believe it or not, we're going to talk about beach toy boxes.
Okay, hold on one second. No, we're not going to talk
about
beach toy boxes.
Toy boxes.
Basically, Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee has been looking at beach toy boxes. It's coming up, I'm not sure.
One second, it just kicked me out. I just have to get back in. All
right. We've been discussing it in committee for several months now. Carolina Beach actually had an Eagle Scout build four of these things that they put onto the beach last season. If you Google that, you will find, if you Google beach toy boxes, you will find that many beach communities have these things. So basically what it is that our guests, when they come across the bridge, either it's Food Lion or the dollar store, they buy plastic toys. And everybody who walks the beach has picked up their share of plastic toys. And we take them back to the trash can and throw them away. But this concept is very simple. Ah, there we go. Here's the example of the Eagle Scout and the toy box that he built for them, type thing. I spoke to the Carolina Beach Fair Art Department, and they were very happy and pleased with the results. They were able to recycle these toys instead of throwing them away and things like that. There are other examples. This is Hilton Head, where they put it off the beach. I am not sure that I'm a fan of that. It seems like people have difficulty walking things back from the beach and leaving them. But if we have that box on the, if we're thinking about putting them on the lifeguard station, just as Carolina Beach did, so that they could see the lifeguard, I think that would help us. Plus, all they had to do is tell the kids to go over there and get the toy, and then tell the kids to go over there and put the toy away. And hopefully we would end up in recycling and not saving some of the effort that everybody does to keep our beaches clean. But I thought that I discussed it with a few people. We wanted to inform the council about what we were thinking about and also to get your approval. As far as cost, we're not sure of the cost yet because I got to settle on the design, which I'm going to talk with the fire department about, an acceptable design. We think we may have another independent group that may actually pay for them and assemble them, but I have to get some more estimates. But first of all, I need to inform you and hopefully get your approval.
Do they have trouble with them just throwing regular trash in those boxes?
They do not, believe it or not.
How long have they had it?
They had it all last season. They had four of them, 15, 17, 19, and 21. Hmm.
Do they have trouble with people coming up and saying, oh, a toy box, and reaching in and using this toy?
That's what we want them to.
At least that's what you mean by recycling?
Yes. We want them to come and use those toys. Any other questions?
I recommend we have SLAP work with Ocean Rescue to discuss this.
Okay.
If it happened for a year last year, we can reach out to Carolina Beach and find out. It sounds all positive, but I'm a little, having been a lifeguard for multiple years,
yeah.
I don't know that I'm a fan without at least the lifeguards talking to other lifeguards about it personally.
It might be worth a test area too.
Well, that's exactly what we discussed. I'm going to find out. We were thinking about only two, one on either side of the pier. So if it works and doesn't cause any problems, great. If it doesn't work, we're out the cost of two.
I would be inclined to do that. Work with the with Ocean Rescue, the chief, and Ocean Rescue, and see what you can come up with.
Any other questions?
No. Okay. Good. Everybody. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Stormwater Committee. Tracy.
No stormwater update, sir.
No update. All right. Next, we go to department head business administration.
I don't have anything, sir.
Okay. Development and compliance. Nothing, Bethany. Nothing?
No, sir.
Okay. The reports are in the packet, everyone. Finance, Arlen, you have anything else?
No updates.
Okay. Fire?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Commissioners, just wanted to announce that we have, we're going to be hosting three lifeguard tryouts over the next three weekends. So our first one will be on this Sunday, and then we'll have them on the following two Saturdays as well. So our first one will be this Sunday. I believe it's at 10 a.m. just on the side of the pier at the lifeguard shack. And we also just selected our four winners to out the fire department's two scholarship programs. I'll be reaching out to the Island Gazette over the next few days, so that'll be publicized in the newspaper. I've also already let the winners know, and we'll be hosting a meeting, I believe it's May 20th, at the fire department meeting. So that's a 7 p.m. meeting. The council would like to attend. It'd be a great time as well. So,
how much are the scholarships?
We have two. So we have the Mike Robinson Memorial Scholarship. There's two scholarships there. The first is $2,500, and the second is $1,500. And then same with our fire department relief fund scholarship. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Chief. Oh, Chief, give us a little, tell us about your trip, about the new truck.
Okay, yeah, so we ordered a new fire engine in September of 2022, I believe it is, and the lead time with fire engines right now is around 4 years, so we're finally in the process of where we traveled to Wisconsin, visited the plant with Pierce, and sat down and had the meetings, the pre-construction meeting. You go line item by line item over a period of 2 days and, you know, make sure that everything is exactly the way that we want it before they begin to build. So it was a fantastic trip. There was four of us that went, and we really dialed in the fire engine, so we're expecting to receive it in December of 2024, so this year.
And that was what? Which is that, 100 and some pages you went through?
We made 139 changes. Yes, sir.
Amazing.
It was a good process. It was,
yeah.
Well worth the visit, so.
Great. Great.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Police?
No update, sir.
Public Works?
Yes, sir. So Jimmy gives his apologies, but he's feeling a little ill. We have some work coming up in May on the ditches between North Fifth Street Extension, not the ditches, the pipes that go underneath the road between North Fifth Street Extension, Surf, and Shell. We will be lining those just like we did out here, and that'll start in early May. So you'll see mobilization and some work around those roads. It should not close the roads, but there'll be work underneath those roads.
No, I was going to ask you.
That's all.
That's all? Okay,
yes,
thank you. Recreation, Nikki. Getting ready to get busy, aren't you?
We've been busy. So, a quick update on the filming. They finish active filming tonight. Tomorrow morning, they'll start the wrap procedures, which will be a little chaotic because they move all that equipment off the beach. And they should get as much of it off tomorrow as they can and then complete the rest of that Monday and potentially Tuesday if needed. And then tomorrow evening, we have Oceanfront Flicks, which is our film series starting with Pirates of the Caribbean. 8 o'clock at the Oceanfront Park, and Saturday is the Curie Community Fest from 11 to 3. So hope to see, looks like beautiful weather, so we hope to see a lot of the public out there.
Come dunk a firefighter, right?
That's right. The ocean rescue and the fire in the dunk tank. So.
Any complaint? Do you receive any complaints or anything about the filming?
It's gone as fairly smooth. So.
I mean, there's a lot of traffic down there, not only their people, but a lot of people coming to see what's going on down there. So, a lot of interest. So, okay, thank you. Okay, now it's time for old business. We're having a discussion and follow up on the request for an ordinance of a seagulls. Mandy, if you would pull up that memo, please, from Mike. You or Brandon want to comment. Brandon did some research for us, and council, this is for the people in the audience. I heard from six or eight different individuals all encouraging us to do some type of an ordinance for banning feeding of seagulls on the beach. It's time for us to discuss it. Lieutenant Bailey came up with some information there that Mandy has pulled up. Carolina Beach has an ordinance that deals basically with wildlife. And Mandy, if you would go to the second page of that. No, the second page of his memo.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. There we go. Carolina Beach has an ordinance. Basically, it talks about feeding or disturbing wildlife. There, it doesn't specifically address seagulls. And then Sunset Beach has an ordinance for birds, water birds, and other wildlife. And then, as you see at the bottom of that page, Topsail, Oak Island, Wrightsville, Surf City, and Atlantic Beach, they do not have an ordinance for it. I reached out to the, went back to my notes when we were having coyote discussions back when we were in the trailers several years ago, and reached out to the Wildlife Resource Commission. And Mandy, if you'd pull that up, please. This is what they gave me, and it doesn't specifically deal with feeding of seagulls, but it does talk about wildlife and about the you know, what we should do from an educational standpoint. So this is more of a something that they recommended the town share in whatever we do, whether we do an ordinance or not, about how it's not healthy to feed wildlife like bread and food and other things. So, Council, this, I guess our decision is, if do we want an ordinance?
I mean, I think if citizens are being inconvenienced because a person is habitually doing something, council should address that, right? So I don't think that, I mean, it's one of those things. I want our police to have the authority to intervene when someone is being harassing. And my understanding of the situation is that this is happening more than infrequently and is becoming an issue for people. So I think we should give the police an ordinance which they can use when someone's being harassing, and that's what my understanding of the situation is. So I think, you know, I don't think the lifeguards and our citizens, every time someone's feeding a seagull, should be spun up about it. But if it's happening every day at 7 a.m. with buckets of food, that is a different issue.
I think
our police should have the authority to intervene in such an issue. That's my position. So,
no, I tend to agree. And I think one of the reasons maybe why Carolina Beach has it is I think you see those signs down at the lake, and I think they had a problem with people, you know, feeding the birds down at the lake, which of course is very harassing to the people that are just trying to enjoy their time at the lake.
Well, I know I was talking to Byron earlier today about around one of their retention ponds. If you feed ducks and geese, they're going to come and they're going to cause a bigger problem. So that's probably part of that cause.
Well, that's true too. The retention.
The retention pond. Go ahead.
I'd like to point something out. We actually have in our municipal code a provision that says no person shall feed any non-domesticated animal in any park.
In park.
Mm-hmm. So, as I
you know, read what other towns have done, is, you know, maybe sufficient just to perhaps modify that in a way that says not to feed any non-domesticated animal or bird.
Okay. Mr. Attorney, you have any comments?
As I mentioned earlier, you need to be careful about an ordinance prohibiting the feeding of wildlife, because that reaches all the way to backyard bird feeders.
Right.
I don't see why. To me, the knee jerk is twofold. My first knee jerk is I think you could draft an ordinance that's very specific to seagulls and to the beach.
Okay.
The second part of my knee jerk is you could look at your nuisance statute and possibly craft something that could fit in there. For example, right now the nuisance ordinance considers as a nuisance any condition detrimental to the public health, but the qualifier here takes the application of this out of what we're talking about right now, which violates rules and regulations of the county health department. I think that you could craft something for the beach that's beach specific and seagull specific.
And that gives us out of backyards and...
And keeps the typical... If you start branching off into coyotes and deers and all that, I think that's a much more comprehensive and a much bigger task, and I don't know where that leads you and what steps you have to make sure you're not infringing on anybody else's jurisdiction, or how you're going to address any multitude of situations. But if you're focused on seagulls on the beach, I don't really see much of an issue with something that basically says don't feed the birds on the beach strand, something along those lines. And of course, related to that, you'd want to consider enforcement being either in general or complaint driven.
Yeah.
And also you'd want to consider the amount of the civil penalty that you would impose
for a violation.
Okay. Okay, I would rather it be complaint driven. And I think David and I have discussed that a little bit. We talked about it briefly. I'm all in favor of requesting our attorney to draft something for us for next month.
Okay.
Is that agreeable?
Do we need a motion or consensus?
We need a motion, Beth, to do that?
Consensus would be fine.
Okay.
So, I'm in consensus with you.
Okay. So, Jim, we would like for you to draft something with dealing specifically with complaint-driven seagulls on the beach. And we can talk about the civil penalty as it relates to other things on the beach.
Well, we've got a variety of, there's a big range of civil penalties for beach, for violations of beach-related regulations. Zoning, for example, the civil citation for violating any zoning regulations is $25.
Okay.
Okay. I'll fold that in. You can tinker with that.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Mike, Brandon, any comments? Anything? As long as it's complaint-driven?
Complaint-driven, definitely. Like to look at the bond and see which one would be better. I know we talked about before, a $50 bond, I believe, could go to court if we had to. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear the last part.
A $50 bond. Anything above a $50 fine, if they continue with that process, could go lead to a court violation.
Yeah, you could do a second offense as a misdemeanor. But
okay.
Personally, I think that's taking a long time.
I'm just worried if somebody's doing it to.
Oh, you! I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the discussion we had that if it's 25, it's no big deal, and they don't pay it, and then you got to enforce it.
Yeah.
That's another consideration. I mean, if you want to leverage cooperation, he's right. We, in discussing another matter, he explained the problem of offenders being hit with a very minimal civil penalty that they don't pay, which then puts the burden on the town of how to chase that debt, so to speak. We talked about, along those lines, just as a brief digression, we talked about accumulating various citations that resulted in that debt, maybe grouping them together for one or two trips to small claims court a year, something to consider. There really is no other effective way to collect a civil debt, a civil penalty. And I'm glad you mentioned that, so therefore your choices would be 25 and run into the kind of problems we run into with Chapter 10 violations, or make something more significant where you're going to get somebody's attention.
Okay. Thank you. All right, folks that are in favor of this, we will bring back wording for that next month. Okay. All right, everybody good? Any other questions, comments? All right, our next item is under new business. That's all the old business under new business 10.1. I have a resolution R2405, and it's in support of the North Carolina Department of Transportation NCDOT application to the U.S. Department of Transportation multimodal project discretionary grant for replacement of the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge. It's a rather lengthy resolution, and I don't believe I'll read it unless y'all want me to. And then we will, but it's all, they're asking all the municipalities, all the jurisdictions to support this grant application. This comes directly from the WMPO organization. So, any discussion on this, guys?
No, I'm in favor.
Make a motion we approve resolution R24-05 as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. That's all the business we have for tonight. We have a closed session for a personnel issue per NC.
Can we do the updates first? Mayor update?
I'm sorry, David. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry for the reason why I
asked. No, I was jumping right ahead. I was trying to get us out of here. As far as mayor updates go, we do have coffee with the mayor Saturday morning from 9 to 11. We do have the community event beginning at 11 a.m. down at Oceanfront Park. And please come out and support the community. Any commissioner up top? Dennis?
No, nothing for me.
David?
Mayor?
So, request to hold our hurricane information sessions on May 16th, which is a Thursday, and May 18th. I'll work with Beth and Mandy to make sure they get advertised. So the hurricane season is now upon us, and in May is one of the requirements of the emergency manager is to have information sessions for the public. So request permission from council to schedule those with staff.
Think that works? Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll work with them to get that out this week so people have plenty of time to plan.
Okay. John, you have anything?
Heavy.
Come? Anything?
No.
Now, closed session. Before I go say this, Beth, if you, best wishes to you if you don't, we don't see you in May. And if you don't see Beth here, we all know why. So look forward to that little girl getting here. We're going to have a need for a closed session for a personnel issue per NC General Statute 143-318.11A6. And I will need a motion for the go into closed session.
So moved to go into closed session.
You got a motion and a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, folks.